people, Starship Rokoncho for another day of broadcast insolence. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. We knew this was coming. Rob Blagojevich pardoned by President Trump today. And commuted, I should say. The pardoned is he's not actually pardoning him. He's just commuting the sentence. And then the there were pardons for seven people. 11 in total were in some way either commuted or pardoned by the president today. And you know, some of the folks that have some of these names are household names. Michael Milken and people who are already out of jail or out of prison. So that's what there's and I said this before, we'll talk about it at 312-981-7200, your thoughts whether this was appropriate or not. I happen to think that this was a bad policy to commute his sentence, because I think it sends us a message to especially the Ed Burks of the world, who may be looking, you know, down the barrel at more at jail time at some point here, that, you know, if they say the right things or they do the right things, and, they don't have to worry about doing the wrong thing. And that's the problem that we have. That is, without question, the single issue that dogs Illinois day in, day out. Costs us billions of dollars. Corruption. Contracts that shouldn't be let. Stealing, scheming, cheating the system, graft and greed, and all those things that we know are endemic in Springfield and in Chicago and other places. And if somebody just decides, hey, that's I can do it because I'm going to get pardoned, or I'm going to get commuted, or there will be no penalty, or even the idea of, okay, well, I can go away to, you know, honor camp for 10 months. Or for a year, or whatever it happens to be, people are willing to do it, and it just it's got to stop. And this does not help the cause here, in terms of that. But I will say this: Sam Adam, you just heard the cut at the top of the hour news. Sam Adam, his attorney, the one thing that Sam said is that this is a great day for the family. Yes, it is a great day for the family. There's no question about it. Our hearts always went out to those two girls, to his daughters, who were, that's obviously struck by and hard at a prime part of their childhood to be dealing with this. I understand that, but you know, he's the guy that did the crime, right? I mean, he's the guy that's on him. That's not on us. That's not on the it's the people themselves are the ones that actually got screwed over here. All right. But Robert Blagojevich is joining us right now. All right. Robert, are you there?
Yes.
Robert Blagojevich, the brother of Rod Blagojevich. And your thoughts, your reaction?
Well, I'm very grateful to President Trump for his compassion and empathy in allowing my brother to go home to his family. And I'm also very happy for, of course, Rod and his family, because they'll be reunited after 8 long years of being separated. And I would say that this is a good day for the average American citizen who is supporting President Trump, because he is trying to clean up a mess. And one can argue in Washington, D.C., and one can argue that my brother, as they, I guess, are in Illinois, saying that he's been released too soon. That is a very debatable point, which I'm very happy to talk about. But today is a day of celebration for my brother, his family, and for justice, because President Trump has been at the forefront with criminal justice reform, and there's so much more to go, as evidenced by my brother's commutation today.
Well, but he was convicted. Right. Do you believe that the conviction was inappropriate? Do you think he was innocent?
14 years? Absolutely inappropriate.
The conviction itself.
On the street, absolutely.
The conviction itself.
I'm not going to concede one way or another as to whether my brother is guilty or innocent. But I would say these things very clearly. No one was hurt. No money was exchanged. It was politics. Bottom line. And there was an agenda by the Justice Department, headed, and the FBI, headed by Robert Mueller at that time, Patrick Fitzgerald, who is the godfather of James Comey's child, These people are incestuously locked. And when the president says, I need to clean up the swamp, I never really understood what that meant until I reflected on our situation. And the Justice Department, of the one that we went up against, was not about right, getting it right. It was about winning and bringing down another Illinois governor. And guilty or innocent, Rod has paid a big price, and he should be welcomed back to the Illinois political community, not as a politician, but someone who served his time and was unjustly charged.
All right.
Not charged, but sentenced.
Yes, and convicted, too. Robert Blagojevich, thank you very much. Robert Blagojevich, Rod Blagojevich is his brother, taking the victory lap there. Although, interesting, not conceding whether he was actually guilty of the crime or not. I think that's pretty fascinating. Let's check in with Lauren Lapka with the traffic and the weather.
Two brothers, one a star athlete, the other with special needs. How their bond inspired an effort to help lonely seniors find joy and companionship. Tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
The Justice Department, of the one that we went up against, was not about right, getting it right. It was about winning and bringing down another Illinois governor. And guilty or innocent, Rod has paid a big price, and he should be welcomed back to the Illinois political community, not as a politician, but someone who served his time and was unjustly charged. Not charged, but sentenced.
Yes. That was Robert Blagojevich from a few minutes ago. That is the brother of Rod Blagojevich. The family obviously very happy and standing up for him. Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV newsroom right now. And both Ben, you and I covered this story in depth when it was going on almost a decade ago. And I think it's interesting that Robert Blagojevich wouldn't acknowledge whether or not he was guilty and found guilty in an appropriate way. Because remember, Robert Blagojevich was a co-defendant
in the first trial.
Right.
Yep. He was his brother's fundraiser and got swept up in this. And you could tell there was tension between the two brothers as the case went on. But then after the jury couldn't come to a verdict and the government tried to simplify its very complex case, they dropped Robert Blagojevich as a defendant. And that's when he began speaking out for his brother. Charging that the federal prosecutors were overzealous. But, you know, we had Sam Adam Jr., one of Blagojevich's defense attorneys, on the air today, and he walked a similar line that I heard in your interview there with Robert Blagojevich. Sam Adam claimed, well, I don't know if what he did was criminal, but I'll admit I wouldn't want my governor doing that stuff.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that most of the defense of Rod Blagojevich thus far has been, well, the sentence was too long. Oh, sure. Or they all do it. Which, you know, in this particular case, they don't all do that. They don't all sell a Senate seat.
Well, and President Trump seems either intentionally or ignorantly informed of the facts on this particular case, because he has repeatedly said that, you know, all Blagojevich did was make a phone call and it was just his words, and how do you convict somebody over his words?
No, well, yeah.
But this was about shaking down a children's hospital and
right.
Holding up official government acts for campaign help. And this was about selling Barack Obama's Senate seat. So this was a very complex case.
Yeah.
And for people who say, oh, well, 14 years is so long, you're darn right it was long, because the previous guy went to prison.
Right.
And Blagojevich came to office. We're going to run a piece today at 4 o'clock looking at all the claims that he made when he was coming into office. Among them was to clean up the culture of corruption in Springfield.
Right. So that is all the totality of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's people in I understand. I do understand when people are like, well, man, what's the big deal? It's just public corruption. Nobody got hurt. They always like to say nobody got hurt. Well, yes, people did get hurt. And were they physically injured? I don't know. But when you are trying to hold up money to, at that point, Children's Memorial Hospital, and when you are trying to, you're making it more difficult for people to do their jobs that would be helping people, other people, then that's just, it's just not right. And it is absolutely, absolutely, completely an assault on the rule of law.
And he did it with his eyes wide open. And for people who say, oh, you know, what was the harm? There's a corruption tax in this city, in this county, and in this state, and we all pay it. So anyone who has been upset by whether it's your property taxes or the sales taxes going up or whatever, it is because of criminal conduct and saying, what's in it for me that we pay those taxes? You know, Blagojevich, I liked him. You know, 7 years, 11 months, 3 days. I can't imagine what it's like to be apart from your family for that long. But, you know, missing your family, that's the situation a lot of guys in lockup are in. The other thing that strikes me is that not only at sentencing, I was just rereading the statement Blagojevich made to the judge in December of 2011 at his sentencing hearing. This is the point when the verdict has been reached already, mm-hmm. and right. you know, most defendants kind of throw themselves on the mercy of the judge at sentencing, and they take responsibility for their actions. Blagojevich didn't really do that. You know, he said, I'm here convicted of crimes. The jury decided that I was guilty, and I'm accepting of it. I acknowledge it, and I'm, of course, unbelievably sorry for it. But then he said, if there's any consolation that I can offer the people and to myself, it's that I honestly believe, and he starts to go into a defense of, well, I didn't do anything wrong. And then he said, let me withdraw that. I never set out to break the law. The one thing he did take responsibility for at that sentencing hearing, he said, if this case was about someone charging me with being self-absorbed, I would have cooperated, pled guilty immediately.
Yeah, well, but that wasn't what really what it was about. I mean, we all knew he was self-absorbed because, and that was part of his, I think it was part of his charm, that got him elected in the first place.
Oh, and this guy, you know, you'd see him, he'd ask you how your wife was, how your kids were, how your mother in the hospital was. He, you know, he had a photographic memory. He could do stats off the top of his head. He did have some good programs. You know, but it's always what you say when you think no one's listening that reveals the true person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you remember what he said after he gave the free rides on the CTA to senior citizens and then was only polling at like 13%?
Right. Told them to F themselves, as I seem to recall.
What? You told my grandma to
F. Right. And I gave them free rides on the bus. Well, blank them! Right? We have we have a little musical number we're going to play a little later on for you. It's been put together. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Let's jump into a phone call here, Ben, for just 1 second. I'm going to let you co-host a talk show for just a moment. Ah. Joe, you're on WGN.
Joe, you're on the air. Go. I've always wanted to say that.
Hi. Okay. So, you know, I'm a Republican, and I honestly think that his sentence was a little top-heavy. Okay. And, you know, when you take a look at what other politicians have done, okay, the guy on the other end of the phone became the governor. I have a problem with that part. I know that there was more to it than just the phone call and, you know, selling a seat. But they all do that. They all do that. He got caught. You know,
I don't know that they all do that. I mean, the guy before him got caught, too, right? George Ryan. And
dubious honor of having two governors in prison at the time.
Yeah, are you making the point that in one of the recorded phone conversations, Blagojevich was talking to J.B. Pritzker about the Senate seat?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, J.B. Pritzker didn't come off sounding great in that, and it was used in the campaign against him. Yeah. But I think there's a difference between, hey, what job can I get? What does it pay? How's the running track around the ambassador's home? I'm going to hold up, you know, payments for sick kids unless you donate to my campaign. There's a big difference between
differences. I absolutely see where you're coming with that, but you know, still, all in all, it's not a first, especially in Chicago politics. It's not going to be the last time that it happens. You know, he got caught. I just think that the sentencing was a little harsher than it really should have been. That's all I'm saying.
But how do we stop it? But what do we do? Let me, Joe, just ask you this question. What do we do to stop corruption in this state? If we can't prosecute it and we can't send people away for a long time so they think twice about doing it.
Well, you bring back the death penalty. No.
Talk about a harsh sentence.
No. Right. I mean, but what do we do? Yeah. I mean, that's the question that I think.
It's a really, and it's a good question, and you're right. But then again, you know, it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm feeling a little empathy for the guy, and I don't know why, because, I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, you hated them, but you liked them at the same time, you know?
Okay.
Right. By the way,
I'll put it other than that.
Right. It's how you feel, you know, as opposed to what you know. This is a lot of what's going on in our politics now anyway. It's about feeling a good feeling about somebody as opposed to knowing that they're doing the wrong thing.
But did you see what just happened there? It was a first in talk radio.
What?
People all shared their opinions. We all appreciated each other's opinions and saw each other's perspectives.
Shut up, Ben. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. You pinhead. Get off my line. All right. That's right. That's right. Get Ben. Goodbye. All right.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
What is going on with his release now? I know we're all looking at this helicopter shot that we have internally.
I'm getting dizzy from the helicopter orbiting over the federal prison in Littleton, Colorado. It could be any minute, and the Federal Bureau of Prisons does not give us a heads up before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got crews en route to Denver, our affiliates there, our helicopters in the air. And frankly, I think the first we'll see of it is that mop of gray hair walking out from the helicopter shot. But as we've seen in some other prison releases of high-profile inmates, they could also just put him in a van in an area we don't see and,
right,
you know, drive him to the local McDonald's. So we may not see it.
Now, do we know if Patty is out there?
Patty, we believe, is at her home on the north side.
In Chicago.
She texted with Sean Lewis, one of our reporters, and said that one of her daughters is coming home soon, and just kind of asked if the media stay away from the daughters, which we've always honored in the past.
For sure.
Yeah.
And is there one of the daughters is in college, though, right?
One, I believe, is out of college and maybe in grad school. Amy and Annie, I mean, they were young. I think they were 8 and 14 when Blagojevich was sentenced. And to their credit, I know the older daughter went to Northwestern, I believe, and, you know, to their credit, they've been through a lot, and you feel for this family.
Oh, there's no question about that. I have incredible empathy for the family, for the girls. Patty, not so much. I heard her on the tapes. I have less of a empathy for her, but you know, it's good. It is good news. I agree with Sam Adams. It's Christmas in February for all the children here, and that's at least there's that. So, all right, Ben, more on this on the keep your eyes on WGN TV and your ears on WGN Radio.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN news.
Today is a day of celebration for my brother, his family, and for justice, because President Trump has been at the forefront with criminal justice reform, and there's so much more to go, as evidenced by my brother's commutation today.
That's Robert Blagojevich, the brother of Rod Blagojevich, who has just been commuted. The sentence of Rod Blagojevich has been commuted. He's expected to be released from federal prison in Colorado any minute now. Patrick Collins is one of the attorneys who put him behind bars. As a matter of fact, you were involved in sending two governors away, as I seem to recall, Mr. Collins.
That's one of the ways you get promoted in the attorney's office is you put a governor in jail. But I actually only was involved in the Ryan case. I was not involved in the Blago case, although the beginning of it had started right around the time I left the office.
So let me ask you this. One of the things that Robert Blagojevich said is that he tied this in with Robert Mueller and James Comey and Patrick Fitzgerald, for Patrick Fitzgerald's close with James Comey and the godfather of his child. And Mueller, and it's all part of this deep state. And that's the story that is being told. That's the story that certainly is going to make it into the, you know, conservative bloodstream here, the conservative media bloodstream. What is your reaction to that?
It's ludicrous. James Comey was not the head of the FBI. This idea that he led the prosecution or directed it is crazy. I mean, the reason that Rod Blagojevich got prosecuted is the wiretaps, and we all remember the calls. It was Rod Blagojevich's voice that convicted him, and I think to make this about James Comey, Robert Mueller, or Pat Fitzgerald, I just think, you know, is in search of an enemy. It's in search of a conspiracy where none exists. I don't think any Illinois citizen who heard those tapes thought that, you know, James Comey put words in Rod Blagojevich's mouth, when he was extorting the Children's Hospital and the racetrack matter and talking about trading Barack Obama's Senate seat. I don't know how you can put that on the foot, on the doorstep of any of those gentlemen. So anyway, I just, I, again, I don't traffic in these sorts of conspiracies. I you know, when I worked at that office, it was, you know, all about the facts, whether it was George Ryan or Rob Blagojevich. It wasn't about political persuasion, and I just don't think that's a fair criticism. Whether the sentence was too long, I mean, to me, that's a fair discussion to have. I for one, have said publicly I thought 14 years was too much. You know, I'm a father, and to see what these girls have gone through, you know, is difficult. And, you know, if it was on a humanitarian basis, Roe, I mean, I think people could accept that. I don't think this is about humanitarian. This is about, it is about the deep state conspiracy. It's about evening a score. It's about him being on a revenge tour post impeachment. It's a continuation of the Roger Stone tweet. And I think if you're a former member of the Department of Justice, it's just so antithetical to what you were taught and how you did your job. And that's the unfortunate part of it. He has the authority. You know, as a father, I thought the sentence was too long. But I think this other stuff, which he absolutely said on the tarmac and attributed his decision to this, I actually think that's what Patty got, going on Fox to push those buttons, I think absolutely got the president interested in this case. And so, from a sales position, she struck the right notes with this president at this time. But I think if you step back, you know, and look at the facts of what the case was about and the wiretap, that was not a Jim Comey creation. It was a Rob Blagojevich talking about how he perceived government in Illinois.
Patrick, let me ask you this. We're talking to Patrick Collins, who was a lead prosecutor in the George Ryan case. And one of the things that is, Channel 9 is going to run this reel of tape tonight about what Rob Blagojevich said about George Ryan. George Ryan, of course, was a Republican. Rob Blagojevich was a Democrat. He was replacing George Ryan. And the take that Rob Blagojevich had in his pitch to the voters of Illinois was, I'm going to be the clean guy. And I think that's one of the reasons that he got banged with a 14-year sentence. It was because of that, because of how, you know, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. And obviously the tapes told a different story. How, now looking back on all this as a former assistant U.S. attorney and now an attorney in private practice, what would you do? How can we clean this up in the state of Illinois? Because we know that there's a real corruption tax.
Again, if I had the answer to that, I would, you know, I would be king of the world.
Are stiff sentences a good way to start or not?
Yeah. You know, again, we talk in the criminal justice system, we talk about general deterrence. And this idea, again, if you punish George Ryan or Rob Blagojevich, you will deter future misconduct. And, I mean, look at what's going on right now with the Sandoval, Burke, the wiretaps, the way people are talking on tape still to this day. I think we can say, as an objective matter, deterrence, you know, has the 14-year sentence of Rob Blagojevich deterred any of the current conduct? I think it's hard to argue that it has. And again, did Rob Blagojevich deserve a greater sentence than George Ryan because he came after them and he also talked about he was going to do things differently? I think there's a pretty good argument for that, and I think the government made that argument, and Judge Sagel, the sentencing judge, bought into it. So if I could tell you how we can get honest people, I mean, part of it is just the lure of the money. I mean, you look at this situation going right on right now, it's all about public officials cashing in, putting money in their own pocket above and beyond their salary and their pension. And it's greed, bro. It's the old-fashioned greed. And it's not stopped post-Blagojevich. I think we can argue pretty powerfully that there hasn't been any deterrence. But does that make the sentence of Blagojevich too long? Does that make the reason? The only issue I have today with what the president did is his rationale. It's one thing to be humanitarian. By the way, Rob Blagojevich isn't the only guy in prison with two daughters. The prisons are full of them, particularly with folks on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale. So if he's going to do it to Rod, he's got to do it to all those folks. But what I don't like what he did today was to inject Comey into this, because Comey had nothing to do with the Rod Blagojevich prosecution, absolutely nothing.
Patrick Collins, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, sir, as always.
Sure, thanks.
Patrick Collins was a lead prosecutor in the George Ryan case, and it was in the office when they were setting up the case against Rod Blagojevich. All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads in the skies? Rob Cotton Show right here on 720 WGN. Brett Baer for the Fox News Channel joins us right now. And nothing to see here, Brett. Let's just move along. There's no news here in Chicago. All right, so the president commutes the sentence of Rod Blagojevich, and Fox News is getting a lot of the credit for that today, at least in the news cycle here. Do we have a sense that that's true?
I don't know. You know, he watches a lot of Fox, Ro. He watches all kinds of shows, I guess, and I don't know which show she appeared on, but Blagojevich's wife, I think, was on Fox and Friends, maybe, or made an appeal directly to the president, something that he obviously saw. So he suggested that the television appeals of his wife, Patty, kind of moved him in that direction. But I think from what we've been told, he had been considering or weighing the possibility for almost a couple years about this commutation. I thought it was interesting that he said he'd served 8 years in jail, and that was a long time, and he seems like a very nice person. Don't know him. I mean, he was on The Apprentice
right.
at one time, so he knew him at some point.
Yeah. Well, the president has a tendency to say he doesn't know people, and then all of a sudden pictures show up. But it is what it is. I mean, he clearly did it we were just talking to one of the prosecutors from the George Ryan case. The governor prior went to jail.
You guys have a few.
Yeah, we got a few. Right.
Spend some time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think what is interesting is that there is this notion that this is about James Comey, and this is about about Robert Mueller, who was the FBI director at this time,
and maybe Patrick Fitzgerald.
Right, Patrick Fitzgerald, who was the U.S. attorney in this office at that time. And Comey and Fitzgerald are friends. So it kind of goes into this whole idea of the deep state. And of course, people who work in the office are saying, well, that has nothing to do with it. The tapes speak for themselves. And anybody who remembers hearing them or has heard them, or they'll continue to hear them today on this radio program, knows that those words weren't put in Rod Blagojevich's mouth by anybody but Rod.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like when the case was laid out that there was a, you know, there was a lot of there for the prosecutors. But listen, he served 8 of his 14-year sentence, and the president made the move. He can make the move, and he commuted the sentence. He also had the pardons for the former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik and Michael Milken, the investment banker who was one time known as the Junk Bond King, but he's done a lot of things for charities around the globe. So this is what presidents do. He has sprinkled them throughout, which is interesting. Some wait till the end of their terms, whenever that is, to do what he's doing.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the others here, too. The 11 in total, Rod Blagojevich being one, right? So 10 others. And nobody else was let out of prison, though, right? Is this the only one?
That's true, I think. Yeah, that's right.
These are
Eddie DeBartolo was pleaded guilty in 98 to failing to report a felony in a bribery case. But, yeah, no one else was in jail, I don't think.
Yeah, so it is interesting because it is Eddie DeBartolo, who's the owner of the family owned the San Francisco 49ers. Also, let's talk about Bernie Kerik, because Bernie Kerik is former New York police chief, right? And what exactly was he in for?
It was a fraud. It was a tax case. Let's see. I think it was tax fraud and lying to officials.
Right. And what would be the interest in that, do you think, in the politics of it? Because it does occur to me that the president does, you know, he wants to make headlines here. This isn't just about, he's not choosing people who are not known in the main for this. Is there something about his relationship with Bernie Kerik or Bernie Kerik's relationship with Rudy Giuliani? Because he was Rudy Giuliani's police chief for a while, right?
Yeah. You know, Kirk served 3 years in federal prison for charges that was like tax fraud and lying to officials. He's also been a supporter of President Trump, and he's talked about that openly. He, too, has been on the airwaves, I believe, on different shows. And, you know, he was involved in advising about the
Gallagher
Navy SEAL, Eddie Gallagher case. And, you know, obviously there's some connection there and there's some affinity, and the president decided that he relies on the recommendations of all these people who make recommendations on clemency and pardons, and said he had a lot of recommendations from a lot of very good people, in the words of the president.
All right. Wow. What an interesting day. Aren't they all Brett Baer
from
Fox News?
I mean, you never know what you're going to get. We're one tweet away from changing the whole show.
I know. And Special Report can be seen in 1 hour and 6 minutes, which is basically a year in our old world.
A lot can happen.
Right, exactly. In 1 hour and 6 minutes on the Fox News Channel. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
We'll see you guys.
All right. Okay, well, there you have it. All right, coming up on the program, Robert Grant is going to join us. Robert Grant was the special agent in charge of the FBI office that oversaw the investigation into Rod Blagojevich. And he has his own thoughts on this and what it means for justice and what was going on. I'd like to get his take on the deep state, whether or not he believes in that or not. Also, we're going to break away from the story for a little bit with Dr. Jim Adams, our chief medical officer of the Rokan Show. Unpaid position, talking about the coronavirus, because there's some developments on that today. Healthcare workers, two healthcare workers have died in China now, which brings, I think, the total to 8 healthcare workers who have died as a result of treating patients with coronavirus. And what does this actually mean for the containment operations here in the United States? And we'll talk to Dr. Jim about that. And then, of course, your phone calls on Rod Blagojevich and your thoughts all coming your way in the next hour. And we have a musical presentation for you as well. That's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We've put the Blago saga to a musical accompaniment that I think you will truly enjoy. It's The Hair meets Old Blue Eyes all at the same time. And it's Blagojevich in his own words. And if you've forgotten about the tapes, if you forgot what he said in those tapes, or maybe you never even heard what he said in those tapes, but if you were, you know, here in the Chicago area or here in the state of Illinois around the time that he was being convicted, and remember, it wasn't a second trial. His first trial was a hung jury, right? I mean, that was the deal. Because there was, I think, one holdout, one woman who chosen, she was not going to agree with the guilty verdict from the other jurors at the time. So it's going to be when he arrives back here, there is going to be some victory lap taking. I can tell you that. And you're not going to hear the end of that. This whole thing was a made up prosecution. It was a hoax. It was all the kinds of things that that have been said now by his surrogates, whether it's his wife, which, I mean, you understand his wife going out and trying to help him, but this is just not how it actually went down. All that coming your way after news from a Northwestern Medicine newsroom, which is next on 720 WGN Chicago.
It's time to get briefed on the day ahead, know what's going on, what happened last night, what's going to happen today, in a way that puts facts and information up front. We all have different opinions, but I think the facts are important, and then you decide what you think about it. Hi, it's Bob Surratt. Tomorrow morning, WGN.
Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right, Rod Blagojevich has been commuted. His sentence commuted. There are cameras right now outside the federal penitentiary in Aurora, Colorado, where we're expecting to have a white, flocked-haired, moppy-haired former governor of Illinois step free out of those gates. And we'll bring that to you when it happens, if he says anything. Robert Grant was the special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI during the investigation into Rod Blagojevich. And, well, let me just ask you initially, Mr. Grant, your reaction when you heard the news.
Oh, I sort of expected it. I mean, he's been signaling this for a couple of months. I think it's terribly unfair to the prosecutors, the investigators, to say that the investigation was unduly harsh or the prosecution unduly harsh. I thought that was over the top and unnecessary.
Well, he's making the charge, as Robert Blagojevich, Rod's brother, did an hour ago on this program, making the charge that this is all part of a deep state conspiracy that wraps together Patrick Fitzgerald with James Comey and Robert Mueller. Your reaction?
Yeah, the communists infiltrated every part of the State Department as well. So, yeah, you want to live in paranoia, go ahead. But I'd ask Robert Blagojevich one question. If he didn't think what he was doing was wrong, why did he ask the state police to do a mic sweep to make sure there were no microphones in Rod's campaign office? So it's a question I wanted the prosecutors to ask during trial, but they didn't. But it's the million-dollar question to Robert Blagojevich that hasn't been asked.
Yeah. So let's go back and talk about what it was. I think, you know, you're hearing a lot of people saying, well, the sentence was too much and it's about time that they let him go. And I think that that's a debatable point. And people will make the debate. I happen to believe, as I think you do, that if you're going to stop corruption in this state, or you're going to slow down corruption in the state, throw a drag chute on it, the only way to really do that is to make the punishment onerous, right? To say, hey, I can't afford to go spend 15 years in prison if I do this. You know, I've got to stop whatever this behavior is. But you go back and you think about all the things that he did, right? I mean, it wasn't just the Senate seat, although that's, I think, good enough. But it was a shakedown of the hospital, right? And it was, you know, withholding funds, withholding state funds from programs unless he got something. He got a fundraiser, he got something else out of it.
Yeah, it wasn't just a hospital he shook down. It was a children's hospital that he wasn't going to allow reimbursement until he got his money. And he also wanted to shake down the Tribune for writing articles about the corruption around his administration. So his corruption was extensive and pervasive, and I don't think the judge or the jury would have convicted him without listening to his own words on those tapes. So, I 8 years is a long time, but this is a state that has been rife with corruption at the top for many, many decades. And we had just come out of the George Ryan prosecution and conviction. And I think Judge Zagel went to the higher end of the sentencing guidelines. Partly for that reason, that apparently 3 to 5 years in a federal penitentiary isn't enough to deter corrupt behavior at the highest levels of government. Maybe we need to increase it like we did with organized crime, because it effectively in New York and Chicago, one of the reasons we were able to neuter organized crime to the extent that we have is because we sentenced a lot of very senior people to very long prison sentences. And I think that caused people to rethink whether they want to migrate into that livelihood. So, you know, I think I can understand the humanitarian aspect of it. I think you and I would agree on that. But I also look at it from two standpoints. One, there's probably somebody in the same prison system as Rod Blagojevich who's also got a wife, who's also got children, but doesn't have the benefit of being a celebrity on TV, on Fox News, to plead their case. So do they get the same level of attention from this president or any president for that matter? And so the fairness of it, I think, is stripped away. The second thing is the vindictive sort of name-calling about the prosecutors. Jim Comey had nothing at all to do with this case at all. He was in the private sector. This is all done organically in Chicago, and the evidence spoke for itself.
Yeah, one of the things about this that people keep bringing up, and I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come right back, but the thing about this during the break, and we'll answer it on the other side, is, and I heard this a lot, well, if these long sentences meant anything, we wouldn't have the current crop of people who are either informed or about to be indicted in Illinois politics, Chicago and Illinois politics. If it really meant that people would stop, it's still going on, is the argument. So on the other side, I'd like to get your reaction to that. Robert Grant is the former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI, and during which his tenure, it was the Blagojevich investigation was just one of many of the things that was done out of that office. And we'll get his thoughts on that question. But first, Laura Lapka, traffic and weather.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN TV.
It's a Rob Khan show right here on 720 WGN. Robert Grant is with us. He's the former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI, and I was just asking before we took the break Robert, about why, if in fact the long sentence that Rob Blagojevich was initially sentenced to before he was that was commuted today by President Trump, why did that not send a message to some of these other guys who are now currently under indictment? Obviously, we have to presume them innocent for the moment, but let's just say there are some other people that are pleading out right now. What can you do if you can't, if that doesn't scare them, what will?
Well, we've had three governors since Blagojevich. I don't think any of them have been charged with any level of crime, so maybe it's only effective at the highest office. But I think it has to be a sustained effort by the sentencing authorities to hold political corrupt individuals accountable. So I can't speak to whether or not it was a deterrent to the people that are currently under investigation. I do know commuting a sentence doesn't signal any kind of responsibility from the standpoint of Rod Blagojevich. He's never once accepted responsibility for what he did to the state of Illinois. And to me, that seems to be a red face start of a test as to whether or not you're going to consider a pardon or a commutation is, first of all, do you accept it? What I think President Trump has done, although he's commuted sentence, he didn't pardon it, is sort of like not held him accountable and said, you know, it's one thing for him to walk out and say, I'll consider a commutation, but Rod Blagojevich has never accepted any responsibility for what he did. So I have a hard time with that. I think most anybody else who's ever disciplined somebody for something they did wrong would ask for that first before they consider anything else.
All right. Robert Grant is who we're talking to, former special agent in charge of the Chicago FBI office. We have a call with a question that I think I can answer, but I'm going to let you answer it instead because you're the guy who actually knows these things for sure. Adam, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, how you doing? Just a quick question. So short of Blagojevich committing another crime, once he gets this sentence commuted, could the prosecution go after him for something they maybe didn't get before with this sentence? Or when it's done, it's done. That's it.
Robert?
Well, Adam, to answer your question, he could be investigated and charged with other crimes that were not charged in this. I don't think that would be any interest in doing that at this point. Everything that could be proved beyond a reasonable doubt was thrown into that trial. But like any other investigation of public officials, it's usually an iceberg of which what you see in the courtroom is a tip of what we already know. So I doubt that there would be any interest in pursuing him. He's no longer in public office. He no longer has any influence in the state of Illinois. He can't run for any political office because he was impeached. So my guess would be that while they could, there would be very little interest in pursuing it.
Do you have any sense, though, now, as you watch this entire environment change, do you get any sense from talking to guys who are still working these kinds of cases or your sense of what has happened here that there is any there has been any kind of effect, softening effect, slowing up effect of the behavior of politicians in the state of Illinois? Was a message at all, do you think, sent at the lower levels? Like you said, at the higher levels, apparently we haven't sent anybody else to jail. But let's talk about those lower levels, because now you got these guys who are being indicted, and now the rumors of further indictments. It doesn't seem to be a way to get through to them. Is there, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you do?
Yeah, it's probably, I'll probably get tarred and feathered in Illinois for this, but the fact that there is no effective second party in Illinois, every state I've ever been in, every city that's been a one-party city or one-party state, breeds systemic corruption across the board, and it's not endemic to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, but the fact that there's nobody watching on the Republican side, they seem to be totally ineffective. I think that's what's hurting the state is we don't have a robust two-party competitive system where they can keep an eye out. Now, whether or not people are deterred by this, I mean, people are greedy and people are tempted and people want to influence politicians. I don't know if they look at Rod Blagojevich and say, well, that's up in the executive suite of the executive mansion. That's not down here where I'm overseeing road contracts and things like that. So I think there's an interest on both parties. When you have bribes being paid, sometimes it's it's portrayed as shaking down. So when you have a politician shaking down a business person, but don't forget, the business person is willingly making that bribe payment. So on the one hand, they're looked at as a victim, but on the other hand, they're participating in the scheme. So there's really two guilty parties there.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, too, because that does appear to be the case at the moment. But for 40 years, the majority of governors in the state were Republicans, you know, and that's interesting but as you point out, Robert Grant, former head of the FBI office here in Chicago, there is no this knows no party stripe, right? These are individuals who are doing this, and it's not because of Republicans or the Democrats, because they were crooked. The guys that, you know, whether it's George Ryan or Rod Blagojevich. And because crookedness seems to be just a part of the culture here in the state of Illinois. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for a lot of people, including myself, when I'm watching this, because it seems like the president is interested in mitigating corruption, like in mitigating the stain of corruption. That, yeah, everybody does it. This is just how business is done here, right? I mean, you know, you're going to see more cases like this. I mean, the pardons that he did today, and again, these are people that are not in jail anymore, but he's doing it to just sort of say, hey, pat you on the head for having, at one point, done the wrong thing. I don't understand that instinct that the president has here. Do you?
I don't. I think he's an emotional person. I think he's swayed by emotional arguments. Don't forget that when he ran in 2016, I mean, he was part of the deep state. He was the one that bragged about having bribed politicians his entire career. So he knew what it was like. And his defense against that was he was one of the richest people on the planet. Therefore, he couldn't be bribed. So he's been on both sides of these transactions. He understands probably the culture. I don't buy into the deep state argument that he makes, but it's a political wedge that he uses. And I think there are people out there that influence politicians through any number of ways, and mm-hmm. it can be from a campaign contribution, it can be to favoritism towards their children, and unfortunately that's too endemic right now in our culture, and particularly in Illinois.
Yeah. Robert Grant, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service to the nation, too. Many years in the FBI and running the Chicago office here, and it was a very fruitful time for the FBI. There was a lot under your watch. There were not only a lot of public corruption cases, but your counterterrorism operations here were enormous and probably saved thousands of lives here in Chicago throughout your career. And those are stories, some of which are now being told that weren't told at the time, obviously. But thank you for everything that you've done.
Well, thanks, Ro. I would be remiss if I didn't reflect at least the agents' view, the case agents on this, Dan Kane and Pat Murphy. The only thing that really rubs them the wrong way is the perception that this was an unfair investigation. It was clearly not. So, yeah. Thanks, Ro.
Thank you very much. Robert Grant, former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI. One of the most important offices, obviously, for public corruption and for organized crime and counterterrorism in the nation. And it has been in some pretty great hands over the years. And his were certainly chief among them. All right, we'll come back. On the other side of the news, we're going to talk to Dr. Jim Adams for just a few minutes about the coronavirus. Scary news out of China in terms of how it is spreading and how medical workers are now dying from it. Two more just were announced today. And what does that mean really for how we're going to be dealing with this here when it starts to, if it starts to develop here, and what can we do to try to keep it from developing here and all that? We're going to talk about that and then get right back to the Blagojevich thing on the other side of that as well. So all that comes your way. But first, news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Ro Khan Show, right here on 720 WGN. And this moment is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit of better health care. We will we'll get back to the Rob Blagojevich conversation with you at 312-981-7200. But Dr. Jim Adams is joining us right now. He's our chief medical officer of the Ro Khan Show. Unpaid position. I know he's got other important stuff at Northwestern, bigger titles that they actually pay him for. But this is the there's a rather serious set of developments coming out of China concerning the coronavirus now. Two more healthcare workers were killed by this virus. It was announced by the Chinese government today. And there is a lot of concern about whether or not it's going to land here in a significant way. What are the precautions, Dr. Adams, that are being taken in the healthcare industry nationwide here? They're trying to keep anything from developing like it would, like in a movie like Contagion.
Well, first, there's no reason to panic at all. And we make sure that our staff have flu vaccinations. And the number one thing people need to do is protect themselves against influenza that is circulating. But if coronavirus hits, we have supplies, equipment, and constant contact with our departments of public health. And it's we're well prepared.
Given the fact that it hasn't really struck here, it hasn't really migrated too far out of China and Southeast Asia, but there's always the possibility. There are people speculating that, including the president, that once the weather warms up a little bit, that will stop the spread of this. Is there anything accurate about that?
Well, we don't know. Every virus has its cycle, and we think that this will have its peak at some point and decline. SARS and MERS back in 2002 went away. We don't think this one's going to go away. It might become a circulating virus and resurge another season. So we don't know when it's going to start to decline. That's why it's being tracked every day.
What is it about this that is making it deadly? It's creating pneumonia? What's the mechanism there?
Well, so it's not clear that it's actually more deadly than the flu. SARS in 2002, it was not as infectious. There were only 8,000 cases, but there was a 10% mortality for SARS. The Middle East respiratory virus, again, a similar type virus, but that had a 36% mortality. Those were deadly. This one's more infectious, more people spread. But right now it's reported that 2 out of 100, about 2%, mortality, but it's probably not even that because there's probably a lot more minimally symptomatic infections that are not being counted. So it may not be that deadly, and it's definitely not as deadly as the SARS or MERS or other coronaviruses of the past decade.
Let's talk about the flu for the moment, because that seems it's a very sticky flu season right now, isn't it?
Well, we've already had 14,000 deaths in the United States. 92 children have died of the seasonal influenza in the United States. So that's presenting a current risk, and that's being tracked.
So what do we know about the peak here? Are we in the peak of the flu season? Because I know last time we talked, there's two strains of the flu. There's the A strain and the B strain, and the B strain was dominant early, and now the A strain is kicking in.
Yep, and so A strain, we're diagnosing that. B is still around. Both are in. We've had circulating influenza for 14 weeks. It's been a rising, and it's in the peak, so we're not seeing it descend yet. Still time to get your flu shot, and it's still around.
And how's the flu shot in terms of a match?
Don't know. That's all the circulating strains are being assessed right now, so we'll know very soon how good the match is. But it's going to provide some protection. It's still worth getting it.
All right. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine is who we're talking to. In terms of that number, 14,000 people have died from this. We talk about mostly in this from the perspective of when people get the flu, most people tolerate the flu. But if you have other underlying health problems, it's harder to fight the flu. And that results in the majority of deaths. But some otherwise healthy people are dying from this flu.
Right. Well, there's been 26 million cases of flu and about 250,000 people who've been hospitalized and 14,000 deaths. The unfortunate thing from the flu is 92 children have died. Now, this is different than the COVID-19, this coronavirus. This COVID-19, very interesting because children don't seem to be getting it and certainly not hospitalized or dying. The average age is the late 50s, and there's people with lung disease, heart disease, other diseases, and increasing mortality with underlying diseases and age. But that's also true of the flu. But the flu is this year affecting children far more severely. So we're seeing a lot of flu in children this year.
What accounts for that? Do we know?
Don't know. Scientists really don't know why that's happening. but we just know it to be true, and all the more reason to be careful, wash your hands, and get the flu shot.
And wash your hands. Dr. Jim Adams, thank you very much, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine and Chief Medical Officer of the Rokan Show. Again, unpaid position. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
As always.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be back with your phone calls at 312-981-7200. Let's talk about Rob Blagojevich. Is it right? Was the president right to commute his sentence? Or wrong? It's very simple. Binary choice I'm giving you. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapka. She's got the traffic and the weather. Coming up, a top five at five in which there will be a musical presentation which will focus on the commutation of Rob Blagojevich's 14-year prison sentence. Done earlier today by Donald Trump, along with 10 other pardons or commutations that was offered up by the president today, including Bernie Kerik, who was the police chief of New York during Rudy Giuliani's mayorship, part of it, and Michael Milken, of all people, the junk bond king, has been, and these guys are all out of jail. They've already done their sentences for fraud and tax and other kinds of things along the way there, the various and sorted, mostly tax and, like I said, fraud kinds of cases that the president says, well, you know, that doesn't really count. This is an interesting moment in American history because the president's doing this in the middle of his own term. Most presidents do this at the end and in the darkness of night and after they've termed out or they've been thrown out of office, and they do it in that period of time, that silly season, if you will, garbage time of the presidency after the election and before the swearing in of the guy's going to be replacing them. And that is basically what the president's saying is like I'm not going to hide. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And if you don't like it, then don't vote for me. But people seem to like it. And I'm not exactly sure why Illinoisans, if you don't know the story, if you weren't around during it or you weren't paying attention to it, okay, maybe. I'll grant you that 14 years seems like a long time. But given the entire environment from which this came, it certainly made sense. And Rob Blagojevich was so bold-faced about it. He stood up there before the microphone and said, none of this happened. None of this happened. And his voice was on the tape. That's the crazy part about it. All right, to the phones we go. 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Paul. Paul, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Ro. Great to hear your voice. Listen, I'm the Trump supporter, full stop. But here's the reality.
You are or not? Because you broke up there. You are or are not?
I'm not okay. A Trump supporter. Okay, absolutely not. He's okay. Got to go. Hey, ho, he's got to go. But here's how it goes. Robert Blagojevich, he should have been charged with the heart crime of the stupidity done at hard time and left office. He did not profiteer by any measure, although he did attempt to, didn't profiteer. You look at Ryan, he profiteered by putting campaign contributions into his into his coffers, mm-hmm. On the back side of the license for bribe scandal, which turned out to be a disaster.
Right.
So if you look at this, Rob Blagojevich should be charged with like just bad quarterbacking. The guy's like third and long. He could never get the ball over the goal line. I mean, literally, He wasn't a very good corrupt politician because he actually didn't profiteer. And in fact, he was moaning and groaning about his government salary, how he couldn't make any money.
Right.
So, the guy's served hard time. He's going to get back home to Chicago. He's probably going to write a couple books, go on a circuit, and live his life.
Right.
He certainly wasn't reticent, nor was Secret Squirrel. What's his name? Ryan. I mean, he wasn't reticent. He came out fighting, swinging in the air the day he got out of jail the same way.
Well, it does seem your point is well taken that it, as it turned out, it was the gang that couldn't shoot straight in the Blagojevich case, right? In the sense that they weren't able to actually execute what they were trying to execute. But they also knew it was wrong. We had Robert Blagojevich on earlier today. We'll replay some of that later on in the program. But Robert Blagojevich was here, and he was basically lauding the president, blaming the deep state for this, saying that it had to do with Comey and Patrick Fitzgerald, who was the U.S. attorney back then, and Robert Mueller, who was the head of the FBI, and that was the issue. It was all about, these guys were just out to get Rob Blagojevich in the same way that they're out to get Donald Trump. And this
Patrick Fitzgerald and his Lincoln be rolling over in his grave and that whole bit, and then it got tried by Sam Adams. That was another thing. thing. It was, you know, the glove doesn't fit. You must have quit type of a defense
penalty right.
ran. So I don't think he had a very good representation the second time around. Hung jury the first time around.
Well, but Sam did it. I mean, that was a funny thing. Sam was able to get one juror, and that's all he needed to do. In the first trial, which was a hung jury, for those who don't remember it, Sam Adam is one of the great. I went to go watch some of his performance, is what I would call it, because he was incredible. Listen, if you do something wrong, you want that guy representing you. I'm going to just tell you that right now, because he was great. Exactly as you said, it was if the club doesn't fit, you must acquit. It was that sort of legal presentation that he had, and it worked. And he found the one juror and focused in on that juror, who, if memory serves right, was a woman, and she was the one that hung the whole thing up. No, I won't convict. And they needed that, so it hung jury. They go back. The government goes back. They slimmed down the case. They wanted to make it a little bit, because they did. They threw the kitchen sink at the initial the initial prosecution.
Like 20, and they went down to 8.
Right,
something like that.
And there was also his brother was initially in the first trial. His brother was a co-defendant, and then they took him out in the second trial. I don't think Robert
Blagojevich did it by any favors today by lauding Trump. I think he should have backed off and said, "Listen, I appreciate what he did for my brother. Leave it at that." I mean, it's not like he can undo his commutation. I don't think he's going to. Maybe it's a play. I would say this. Maybe it's a play at Donald Trump trying to swing some of these independent Collard County voters that would say, you know, hey, listen, see, he is fighting for the little guy. Look at this. Here's a guy who's making it right for, you know, this guy Blagojevich. Because, you know, Cook County stowed up, but doesn't mean DuPage, Lake, and McHenry and other counties, Will County, isn't sewn up. So if you got a guy on the edge in some of these Collard counties in congressional races or these weird races for judicial candidates, maybe they're going to use that as the leverage point that he knows he's going to, you know. So it's kind of it's a long shot, but you know, I think that Blagojevich should come home. His wife's a very nice person. You know, whether you like what she said on tapes, she's certainly been reticent, even though she's used the media to a T.
She has. That's true. Oh, well, think about it. Just imagine upon his return here, how much media attention he's going to garner, especially on his return. But then I think after a week or so, when it starts to wane, you're going to find him popping up on cable news, specifically Fox News for sure. I think you're going to start seeing him be one of the paid talking heads at Fox News before this is done.
I would absolutely agree. Yeah. I think they're going to, like I said, they're going to use him and her, the wife, to talk about, compassionate judicial reform and you, because Rod Blagojevich is a terrific orator. So they certainly can use his oratorical skills to get to the public.
Yeah, I think it's going to be less about that. It's going to be more about how the deep state's out to get the president, because he wants to create the that deal. All right, Paul,
great call,
thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right,
let's talk to BJ on WGN.
Hi,
go ahead, BJ.
Hi, how are you? Love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I did not vote for Rod Blagojevich ever, and I am a Democrat. I would never vote for Donald Trump. If his opponent was Peter Rabbit, I wouldn't vote for him. However,
might end up being, yeah.
No, it just would. It means that he did the right thing. I think Obama should have done it, and I loved Obama. But this man got a sentence that was 3 times longer than anything or anyone had ever done. This guy did nothing. He did the same horse trading that everyone else does, but he didn't even get paid for it. He might have asked for it. He might have done some back and forth. And I'm not saying Rod Blagojevich is an innocent guy and he didn't do anything. I'm just saying he didn't get what he got for a sentence. He didn't deserve. And again, I didn't vote for it.
Yeah.
But he certainly did not deserve the sentence that this lunatic lawyer, judge, whoever he was, he gave him a sentence that was fit for a murderer. I mean, seriously, this guy was in terrible, terrible revenge, whatever it was. I don't know what made him do it, but he gave this guy double the time he ever should have gotten.
Well, I think he's trying to send a signal to other politicians, because you got to remember that Rod Blagojevich, you'll recall this, Rod Blagojevich, when he was running for office, he used the corruption of his predecessor, of George Ryan, as basically a whipping post by saying, listen, I'm the clean guy.
Yeah,
and it turned out he was not the clean guy. And it turns out not only was he not the clean guy, but they were, it's interesting because we had the former head of the Chicago office of the FBI on, who said that Robert Blagojevich's brother, who's very defensive of his brother now, I don't even know if they still have a relationship, but very defensive. And he stood up for, on this show, and we will replay part of that coming up in the top five. The issue is that why did Robert Blagojevich order the Illinois State Police to sweep the Blagojevich office for listening devices if they didn't think they were doing something wrong? That is a very, that I think is an appropriate question to ask, and it just goes to the endemic corruption that was going on there. BJ, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. We have got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way with Kim Gordon in about 2 minutes. And then on the other side of Top 5 at 5, you won't believe it. We'll come back to more legal analysis of this as well. And don't forget, Northwestern basketball tonight.
Wake up with the interim Chicago Police Superintendent Charlie Beck joins us in the studio right after the 8:30 news. Surratt in the morning.
Bob Surratt, Radio Chicago, WGN.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. Should move with great dispatch. And we shall. Checking in at
number five.
Well, he did it. The president said he was going to do it, said he was thinking about it, and he did it. He commuted the 14-year sentence of Rob Blagojevich.
His sentence. So he'll be able to go back home with his family after serving 8 years in jail. That was a tremendously powerful, ridiculous sentence, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many others.
That's right. Okay. All right. That's true. A lot of people, I would say a majority of people, thought it was too long. But I understand why they did it. I think most people understand why they did it. Because we have to end the corruption somehow, or at least slow it down somehow, don't we? Don't we? Shouldn't we? Don't we? Oh, well. Here is Mayor Lightfoot's take on it.
You have to have compassion. That family has suffered a lot, and I think Patty Blagojevich has been very upfront about the fact that this is taking a significant toll on her daughters, and that's true of any time that a family member is separated through incarceration. President Trump is probably the least credible person to make this decision, given what he's done over and over again to thumb his nose at. One of the core principles of our democracy is that no one is above the law, and not him.
And then we, at the very beginning of this radio show, we had Robert Blagojevich on. Robert Blagojevich is the brother of Rob Blagojevich and was co-defendant in the first trial, which ended up being a hung jury for Rod. When we have Rob and Rod, it was very confusing, especially on AM radio. We never knew who we were ever talking about. Because the B and the D sound, can't really tell the difference on the AM. Anyway, so Robert said this about the commutation of his brother's sentence.
I'm not going to concede one way or another as to whether my brother is guilty or innocent. But I would say these things very clearly. No one was hurt. No money was exchanged. It was politics. Bottom line, and there was an agenda by the Justice Department and the FBI headed by Robert Mueller at that time, Patrick Fitzgerald, who is the godfather of James Comey's child. These people are incestuously locked. And when the president says, I need to clean up the swamp, I never really understood what that meant until I reflected on our situation. And the Justice Department of the one that we went up against was not about getting it right. It was about winning and bringing down another Illinois governor.
Well, I mean, the tapes kind of speak for themselves. I mean, it has nothing to do with James Comey. James Comey wasn't even in the government during that era. He was in private practice. And whether or not and Patrick Fitzgerald, who was then the U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, whether Patrick Fitzgerald is friends with James Comey has nothing to do with the fact that Rod Blagojevich was trying to extort a children's hospital, let alone sell the Senate seat. And it's all on tape, and it's pretty damn clear. So I don't know how that's... And they knew they were doing the wrong thing, because Robert, right there, you heard him, Robert actually asked the Illinois State Police to sweep their offices for listening devices, because they were afraid they were being listened in on while they were doing the wrong thing. With all due respect, listen, everybody, I think, can share in the relief that those two kids have, who are now in their 116 and one's 22, I believe now. And they lost those past 8 years with their father. Now, that's kind of on dad more than it is anybody else. It's not on the federal government. Because if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. But that is, in fact, a happy moment for them, and it'll be a very nice reunification, I would assume. And we are awaiting, by the way, the release of Rod Blagojevich from prison. We've got cameras, and Nexstar's got cameras and microphones ready to talk to him if he does stop and talk to the press before he gets on the plane to come back here to Chicago. So all of that will be coming your way later on in this program. But first, let's do this. Let's check in on the traffic and the weather with Lauren Lapka.
For news at 10, watch WGN, Mike and Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Oh, so well done, Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Kahn.
So well done. All right, we're in the top 5 of 5. We've worked our way slowly up to
number 4.
Jurors in the Harvey Weinstein trial deliberating. Gloria Allred, who represents multiple alleged victims of Weinstein, spoke today outside a Manhattan courtroom. She referred to her client here, Mimi Haley.
I hope that this jury also understands that even though there was continued communication by my client, Mimi Haley, and I might add, it was relatively minimal. It doesn't mean that what she alleged didn't happen.
So that's one of the things with this particular case, is that in the New York case, the two victims in the New York case, alleged victims, are folks that ended up having an ongoing relationship. Both of them had an ongoing relationship with Harvey Weinstein after the incident for which he's being charged. And so there's a lot of speculation in the legal community that he's not going to get convicted in New York State, but he's facing other charges that don't have those circumstances in California. Now, the problem here, though, for the defense of Harvey Weinstein is the jury sent out a note to the judge today asking the order in which they should convict him. So that's the kind of thing where all of a sudden you're like, oh no, there's no way that he's going to get convicted. And yesterday we were talking about this on the program. We were trying to explain for people who have a lot of people have not been paying a lot of attention to this, right? There's a lot of other things going on in the world. But just when this jury does come back and the verdict is rendered, we gave a little perspective to it. And I think a lot of people, including myself, thought, well, you know, I think the New York case is probably weak. Well, what do I know? Because now it looks like the jury is going to come back. And when that note was read to the attorneys, his defense attorneys all kind of looked down like, oh, this is not good. That's not good. Your Honor, did they say convict? Was it convict? Really? All right. More on that when that actually happens. We're probably not hear back. We will definitely not hear back from the jury until at least tomorrow.
Number 3.
In the wake of the San Francisco Giants banning Aubrey Huff from this summer's 2010 World Series reunion, the two-time champ went on a San Francisco radio station to tell his side. Huff was asked by Joe Lowen Dibbs. I think we should rename that to Roe Lowen Dibbs. Who wants to be Low and who wants to be Dibs?
Well, I think I should be Low. It's close to Lauren.
Yes.
I'll settle on Dibs.
All right, so you're Dibs.
Dibs on Dibs.
All right, there you go. If he had any regrets, some of the inflammatory tweets that led the team to shun him, the full text of the tweet read, "Let's get a flight over and kidnap about 10 Iranian women each. We can bring them back here as they fan and feed us grapes, amongst other things. Here was his explanation.
First of all, it was earlier in the morning. I hadn't had my coffee yet. And at the time, the whole Iran thing was going down. Man, you know, you're talking about war with Iran and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, you know, gosh, there's so many beautiful Iranian women that I would imagine would love to escape that place. And instead of saying, you know, go there and rescue, I just, for whatever reason in my mind in the morning, just said kidnap. Wrong choice of words. Obviously, that was wrong choice of words. That's not what I meant.
Well, it is exactly
what you
meant.
Oh, yeah, that's the only bad part of the whole thing. Right.
Right. Yeah. And let's say, you know, fanning them, feeding, you know, feeding grades, sort of. Yeah, he meant everything that he said there. Now he's trying to make it all pretty and clean. Well, then he doubled down on his belief that Alyssa Nacken, right? Isn't that the pronunciation for her? The Giants assistant, who was the first female coach in baseball, should not be there.
You know, you believe what you want to believe on the left. I'm cool with it. No big deal. But don't try and tell me how to believe as well. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm in. The woman coach thing, listen. Here's my deal with that. I don't believe a woman should be in men's pro sports. Absolutely not. There's so many more people, especially men that grinded it out, that deserve that spot more than she does. But I also don't believe that men belong in women's college sports or sports in general either. Why would they want to be? I wouldn't want to coach women's sports. Women are tough enough to deal with anyway. But let's be
Aubrey, do you really think right now is the time to make that joke? We're trying to have you on to present this in both lights.
But hey, man, you guys had me on. This is how I joke. If you don't like it, then you don't have to interview me. But you sound upset, my friend.
Hang up on him. We're done.
Wow.
Wait, was that Joe Lower Dibs that got mad there?
It sounded like Joe.
I think that's probably Joe, yeah.
I don't know. I like him, though.
Hang up on him. Hang up. Wow. Well, let's say this, that this guy is, I don't think, helping his cause.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I don't think he cares either. But I do like how everything is, it's got to be political. You guys on the left. Well, it really has nothing to do with that. It's really not left or right. It's, you know, these are the things that are happening in the world. Yes, the Iranian situation did flare in the aftermath of the Iranian general, our military taking out the Iranian general. But I don't know what that has to do with actually kidnapping women and making them slaves on an airplane. And then I don't really understand why it is 2020.
He's a chauvinist. That's clearly just the problem.
Oh, I think that's just part of the problem. I think that's part of the problem. All right. Well, we wish nobody good luck in that, except for Joe Lowen Dibs. Right, Dibs?
You got it.
Thanks.
Get him off the line.
Okay. Hold on, Lowe. We're getting right back to this.
Number two.
Target attracts shoppers young and old. They go through those red doors, and so many parents. Shop of Dreams can be a safe haven where the hours and stress just melt away. For Miles, Penn, Charlie, and Taylor, Target is where their wives spend hours shopping, but they all came up with a solution to start the Husbands of Target Parking Lot Support Group. And this video has gone viral.
You know, honestly, I think this has saved my marriage. My wife and I used to constantly fight about how much time she was spending at Target. But now, thanks to the group, my marriage is stronger than ever.
I clip coupons for her now, so we can head to Target and I can hang out with the guys and she can do her thing, whatever she does in there.
Taylor, we gotta go.
Oh, come on, babe. 5 more minutes?
No, we gotta go right
just
now.
Just five
more minutes.
You guys have been in here all day.
Oh. Damn, see the sale on the
Sod.
They're really nice.
They're real cute.
Sod, gotta go.
This is like Jagweed Guy's top five today. Sort of what it is. You know what they should do is Target's generally standalones because they're so big in malls. But maybe Target should have a sports bar in it. Think about that.
Or they don't have to go. I don't get why they would be dragged along.
If you put bars in all retail shops, you'd be saving the retail industry.
That's also true.
That's true. Well, you know, when they put bars in the shopping, like Jewel and Mariano's and stuff, that was a godsend to me. Because, not that I probably should be, but it's a nice thing to like walk around with a glass of wine or beer, you know, as you're shopping, and you buy more, right? I mean, that's the thing. That's the beauty of that.
Instantly in a good mood.
Yeah, you're in a good mood, and all of a sudden you know what? I don't really need that, but I'm going to get it anyway. Don't you think? Great. They just don't have the proper cup holder situation for that. At least at the Marianas, they haven't figured that out yet. They got to figure that out. If they're gonna sell me the wine, they should put it in something that makes sense for me to carry around, or some sort of maybe a sippy cup. Is there anything wrong with that? Because the thing falls around. You put it in that upstairs compartment, you know, where the kids sit.
I wonder if you could bring your own. If they'd yell at you. You just kind of pour it in.
They'll accuse you of stealing it, is probably what they would do. All right, and finally, let's work our way here.
Number one.
All right, here you go. A musical presentation of Rob Blagojevich's Crimes and Misdemeanors.
You walk in, your heart's broken, and then you're in there, and they close the gates on you, and you're in prison. You're yearning for your children and for your wife and for home, and you're looking at 14 years.
Michelle Obama's getting $65,000 a year for, you know, what was it, Treehouse Foods, Patty?
Treehouse.
Yeah, and she's making $300,000 over to the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
Where her husband's federal funds are going there. What?
Yeah, which, of course, went up as soon as he got elected to Senate.
But I know I'm going to change that tune. When I'm back on top in June.
Realize I have twice been given a longer prison sentence than Al Capone. My judge gave me a longer sentence than him.
I mean, I've got this thing, and it's golden, and I'm just not giving it up for nothing.
But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around.
Well, I've always believed in the righteousness of my cause, and still do, and that's why we keep fighting.
Look, I gotta tell you, I don't want to be governor for the next 2 years. I want to get going. This has been two years where I'm doing the best I can trying to get through a brick wall and find ways around stuff. But it's like just screwing my family, and time is passing me by, and I'm stuck. It's no good.
I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
My Christian faith instructs me that forgiveness is mandatory.
You know what? Maybe that horse is ass. Harry Reid ought to be the emissary. You know, you or Harry Reid and Menendez, you guys do it.
But I thought, for whatever reason, however things have happened, that, you know, my mission was to accept manfully the fate that's been assigned to me.
Yeah, what have I got? Oh, the people are gonna be mad, and the newspapers are gonna whip me for this, okay? I busted my ass and pissed people off, and I gave your grandmother a free ride on a bus, okay? I gave your baby chance to have health care. And what do I get for that? Only 13% of y'all out there think I'm doing a good job. So all of you.
Oh my god. My grandmother was never happy about that ride on the bus, by the way. Just want to point that out. Give your effing grandmother an effing free ride on the bus, and I only get 13% approval. There you go. In his own words right there. And then they wonder, now why do we get why were we convicted? What happened there? There will be more of a conversation about this on the other side. But let's close up the top five at five right now.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right. We are talking about Rob Blagojevich coming home. He hasn't left the prison yet. We have cameras set up outside the prison in Colorado, federal prison in Aurora, Colorado, where he's being held currently, awaiting release. He served 8 years before his sentence was commuted today by President Trump. He had another 6 years, essentially, to go, a little bit less than 6 years, when 85% of your time you have to do in the federal system. And he was, we know nothing at this point, which I think is very interesting. We know nothing about the whereabouts of, how he's going to be getting back, what his reaction has been to this. And our own legal analyst, Mike Monaco, is stepping into the studio right now to explain how this process actually works. When a guy actually gets released from prison. I know that, Mike, you've never had a client who's actually gone to prison because you're just representing people who are wrongfully accused. There's a whole process to actually being released, right? I mean, they don't just come to your cell, or in this particular case, he may be, he's working in the prison doing other stuff, and they just come and they grab him and they go, hey, you're going home now, and they throw you out on the street. What do they do?
Well, that's so unusual that they're not exactly sure how to do it, frankly, and so they will do it, whatever they feel is both safe for everybody involved and timely.
Wait, now that's interesting. What do you mean they don't know how to do it?
They don't do it. How many people have received commutated sentences? Very, very few.
And do we have? It's got to happen, right? There was the woman that he commuted the sentence
that's
of.
That's true. That's one.
A couple of.
That's one, and she was in state court.
So, is there really? Well, no, but he couldn't commute a state sentence.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
no,
true.
It was federal.
She was in federal.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is so interesting.
But she was there for a hunt for her life. This fellow, obviously, 14 years, served 8 years, been there a long time. Everybody knows him. In a band.
In prison, right?
In prison.
Yes, it's like an Elvis tribute band.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It's all, I'm glad that he got released. You remember the case. You remember the original case?
Yes, I recall.
You have to also remember this. In his investigation, the government tape-recorded his home and his office, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a sitting governor.
Yes.
They broke into his house at night and put tape recorders. It's all done very secretly. They can't tell us how they do it, but they did it. And so for many months, they had a tape recorded him. So they found out that he was trying to get money from people who wanted things from him, like racetrack benefits and like
Balmoral.
The Children's Hospital in Chicago, which didn't go well.
No.
That didn't go well over for him. And also...
Well, they had to have probable cause. They had to go in front of a judge to get the overhear.
They had that first, right. Yes. You're exactly right.
It's not like they just did it. They just decided, they were just going to go in and listen in. I mean, there's a whole
process
here.
How many governors in America have had their offices tape recorded? I bet there, if any, maybe two. He's one. And also, remember, Chicago is the town where the prosecutors also went into a judge's chamber, sitting state court judge's chamber, and tape recorded comments in his chambers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very...
That guy was convicted too, wasn't he?
He was convicted.
So I don't understand. I mean, you're a criminal defense attorney. I understand that.
That's a huge thing that we have in this federal prosecution. Our prosecutors here are very, very aggressive, and they got him saying things that got him in trouble. For example, the worst thing he said was that he was trying to sell the Obama Senate seat. As you remember President Obama became a president, and so the governor had the right
to... F and Golden.
That's exactly what he said.
Yes.
You have a good memory.
I'm not going to just let this go for nothing.
Yeah, you have a very good memory.
Yes.
But that was those crimes, the court said, was not criminal. The Seventh Circuit said that was political log rolling is the term they use.
Right, on the appeal.
And I've never heard that expression before. But they invented it for this case, political log rolling.
Yes.
But they convicted him on the other counts. But then they sent him back to be resentenced. And at that point, the district court judge could have reduced the 14-year sentence to a lesser sentence.
But he chose not to.
Which would have made sense, but he chose not to.
He chose not to. Do you think it's because he tried to shake down a children's hospital and withhold funding from a children's hospital until they did a fundraiser for him? Do you think that might be the reason that they thought that was not good?
That's possibly the reason, but I also think part of the reason might be that between the first trial and the second trial, he went around America on television telling everybody that he was not guilty.
Correct.
That was
including
that offended
on the president's TV show.
Yes, that's right, on The Apprentice.
Yes,
that's exactly right.
All right, we'll stay right there. Don't anybody move. We'll be back with Mike Monaco and your phone calls. Mike sounds like he's defending this guy. 312-981-7200, your thoughts. He is a criminal defense attorney, so I know how it goes. All right, we'll talk to you on the other side. But first, Lauren Lapka's got the traffic and the weather. It's the Rokon Show on 720 WGNR. Legal analyst Mike Monaco is here. We're talking about Rob Blagojevich getting out of prison. He's going to be coming home sometime. We don't know exactly when. I find this fascinating.
Right away.
Michael Monaco has just explained to us that this happens so infrequently, there's really no protocol for letting a guy out of prison the minute that his sentence has been commuted.
That's true. But it'll be soon.
Because they got to figure out how they're going to get him back here. Right? I mean, he's got to figure out how he's going to get back here.
Well, either or. They may let him. He can be released right from the jail, and his wife will come out, and I assume his family will come out and pick him up. And then,
we understand that she is still here in Chicago as of this afternoon.
Well, they didn't know till today it was going to happen. So,
well, I don't know. Do you think they were tipped?
No. I don't think so. I think, now, some people were tipped. Now, for example, regarding, you know, he also pardoned several people today, other folks. Like
11 in total.
DiBartolo. Mm-hmm. And there were several people in the White House about that incident because they had a bunch of former football players and Paul Anka, I think, was out in front of the White House talking about what a great idea that was. Now DiBartolo did pay $400,000 to the governor of Louisiana in cash, $400,000 in cash, to help DiBartolo's business get a license in Louisiana for a gambling casino.
Yes.
And then when the FBI went into the governor's home, they found the $400,000 cash in it. So it was, there was no doubt that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you could say, well, DiBartolo was extorted, okay, because the governor wanted the money and he insisted on the money. But he paid. Extortion is normally not a defense to bribery, believe that or not.
Hmm.
So if someone extorts you,
either
you go to the FBI, but if you pay it, it's a problem.
But now when they're in pardons in situations like that, I mean, how does that benefit a guy who's already done his time?
Well,
like Bernie Kerik or Eddie DiBartolo or Michael Milken?
That's a good question. It, of course, gives them the right to vote, the right to own a gun, the right to do a bunch of things that...
Well, there's 11 votes coming Donald Trump's way right now. We can promise you that.
Exactly.
12, including Robert Blagojevich, who we talked to earlier. Yeah. And Patty, 13. Yeah,
exactly.
The kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one of the kids.
Yeah. So it's often a matter of personal honor. They want to not let it be said that I've been an indicted felon. I'm no longer an indicted.
But a commutation doesn't give you that right.
No,
right?
Commutation means you're out of jail.
Right.
Pardon is the big deal.
Yeah.
Pardon is the big deal, yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't get like a door prize or anything for it, right?
So what's interesting is this. If DiBartolo was still owning the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, the pardon may have allowed him to continue the ownership of the 49ers. But he gave that up a long time ago. His sister took them over. Now I think one of his nephews.
So would he be allowed to go back? That's the NFL, though. It's a private entity, the NFL, and they would have to decide whether they want.
That's true.
Him in.
It's not a federal entity.
Does it help you on your taxes? I mean, what does it help you on?
No, it doesn't help on your taxes.
What about credit rating? Does it help you on your credit rating?
DiBartolo has no problem with his credit rating.
Okay, it's very interesting who he has chosen here.
Yes.
Right. I mean, he's not choosing people that where the argument has been made, and I guess this is probably true in all pardon requests. Many pardon requests. It's not like the guy never did it and he's wrongfully, you know, accused and you got to let him go because now there's new evidence to come out in the trial that the judges won't listen to it and all that. That I know that has happened from time to time, but that is not really what presidential pardons are about. It basically is about helping out your friends.
Right.
I mean, Bill Clinton famously,
right?
Right. Did it for a guy that was
actually a fugitive.
Yes.
He was living in Europe.
Right. And couldn't come back to the United States.
As a fugitive.
And he had a really hot wife who went to the White House.
Who donated a lot of money.
Yes. And met with the president. The next thing you know,
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well,
but all of a sudden, old boy, you know, gets to come back to the United States.
Yeah.
And everybody was real mad about that at the time. I remember, and the people who were real happy about this today were also real mad about that then. So, I don't know.
Well, some Republicans are mad about this. Of course, in Illinois, they're mad about it.
Yeah, it's funny. Skip Saviano, who used to be down in Springfield.
Yeah.
He's now the mayor of Elmwood Park. He's going to be here in just a few minutes. He was scheduled to be here to talk about something else, but he's going to be talking about this now.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting to
hear
what... He's one of the guys who voted to impeach.
Oh, yeah, they all did. Everybody.
Oh, well, except his sister-in-law. His sister-in-law, she did not vote to impeach.
Is that right?
Yeah. She voted present.
Oh, that's okay. Is it
the president or no?
I was there that day.
Mm-hmm.
I was there that day. That was an interesting day because, you know, you don't often see a governor sitting governor being impeached.
No, you don't.
And then they passed another law saying that he cannot run for office again.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Because God knows he would.
God knows.
There is no question.
He is a very interesting man.
I believe that he is going to become an absolute darling of the MAGA world now. And I think his money that he will make now, this whole thing will have been effing golden. And it may have been well within his, this may be an 8-year timeout that will make him a multimillionaire on the other side.
Really?
Yes.
You know more about that than I do, but it strikes me that this was a very, very long time in jail.
Yes.
Longer than any other politician in Illinois.
But can I ask you this question? Because we've been debating this with callers all day. Is it Mike Monaco, attorney at law, no case too big or too small, a message was attempted to be sent here, right? Because you may recall in the George Ryan trial, right, at the end of the George Ryan trial, there was, a 6-year sentence, I think it was?
He ended up doing, 6.5 years, right?
So that seemed like a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an older man, right? I mean, who knew what was going to actually happen there?
Oh, yeah.
So when Rob Blagojevich said, hey, no, listen, that guy was corrupt. That guy was...
Yeah, vote for me.
Yeah.
I won't be corrupt.
I won't be corrupt. I'm a good guy. He's a bad guy. Right. That's a bad guy right there.
Right.
I'm the good guy.
Yes.
I'll never do this.
Yeah. It was...
And they did it.
Apparently untrue. Yes.
Yes. I mean, does that... When the sentencing, and this is really kind of interesting because we're about to see this in a couple of days with Roger Stone, right?
The Thursday, sentencing. 2 more days.
Right.
I think
they not want to send a signal?
Listen, in Illinois, we've been sending signals for a long time.
And no one's listening.
Well, it was more than that. This fellow was a very... Not unlike other politicians. He was a narcissist, an egomaniac.
Okay.
And he did things.
You can't convict a guy for that, can you?
<That's>, no.
Then I'm a little worried if that's true.
That's true. No, but he made really silly, really. Because I read the tapes.
Mm-hmm. The transcripts, right?
The transcripts. And he made very, very bad judgments so many different ways.
Yes.
And one of the guys was his friend. This guy Johnson on the racetrack was his friend. Had donated money to him in the past.
Still shaking him down.
And was still shaking him down.
Right. Wanted more money for them to get the license to continue with the horses.
It was amazing.
Yes. The hospital. I mean, that one alone. Just, that goes in the Hall of Fame of a-holery in the state of Illinois.
That's true. But more than
withholding,
that, withholding,
let's just go back to that for a second.
I know.
He threatened to withhold, and did, the money for Children's Memorial Hospital that they get from the state that helps them make their payroll.
I know.
Right?
It was terrible. I agree. It was
terrible. Because he wanted a fundraiser.
I agree. It was terrible. You're exactly right. But I'm telling you, the reason he got 14 years was more than that. It was the fact that he went around the country mocking the Justice Department. That's why he got the 14 years. And also because he tried the case twice.
But now he gets to mock the Justice Department along with the president who mocks the Justice Department, right?
True.
The whole argument, he will be this darling because the whole argument, as we heard from Robert Blagojevich, we're going to play a little bit of that coming up. When Robert Blagojevich, his brother...
Yeah.
Was a co-defendant. He's saying, listen, this whole thing is because of Comey, because of Robert Mueller, because of Patrick Fitzgerald, and this is all part of the deep state. And that's what they're saying. Michael Monaco, stay right here. I'll talk to you on the other side. We've got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right, Skip Saviano has just stepped in to the studio. Now, Skip Saviano, long time, 20 years down in Springfield as a state rep, right?
Yep.
And now you're the mayor of Elmwood Park, and we're going to talk about Elmwood Park here in just a second because you got the Elmwood Park Festival, right?
Restaurant Week.
Restaurant Week. Elmwood Park Restaurant Week. That is starting February 21st and runs through March 1st, and we'll talk about all the different places there. And it's one of the best culinary experiences in the entire metropolitan area, right?
Yeah.
To Elmwood Park.
We highlight our establishments, and when you talk about Jim and Pete's been there for 75 years, or Alpine Food Shop, or Armin's Pizza, all of those places have been there for years, and they're reinvesting in their businesses because of the way we have invested in the infrastructure around there, with parking lots and all that. So we're excited about
it. It's a really nice job on North Avenue. But we'll get to all that in just a few minutes. I want to talk about Rob Blagojevich. You voted to impeach Rob Blagojevich, did you not?
Yeah.
Did you think that it was right for him to get impeached?
Well, I mean, everybody's read and heard of the tapes and mm-hmm. all that, and, you know, immense political pressure and the fact that it is what it is. And it was unanimous except for the one present vote.
Right, the present vote by his sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. Right, because that would make it tough at Thanksgiving, I would imagine. Although there were eight Thanksgivings, they didn't have to worry about it. I'm a little reticent to believe, or let me put it this way. I find it hard to believe that there are so many people who are relieved by this. I mean, I get that 14 years is a long bit, right? But we remember, there was a context to that whole thing. There was context because you had George Ryan going to prison. You had Rob Blagojevich saying, I'm the good guy here. I'm not going to do the bad stuff. And then on tape, being as bare-knuckled as any politician you could possibly imagine. I mean, he sounded like a crime boss.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody was shocked when we heard those tapes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it put a bad shadow over us as elected officials. I mean, right. I myself celebrate my 32nd year as an elected official, and I take pride in the fact that I get to serve people every day. And some people lose sight of that, you know? I mean, personally, Rod and I got elected the first year in 92. We served together for a couple terms until he became congressman, mm-hmm. and he was my congressman also. I have to say one thing about him. I've never seen anybody campaign like this guy. I mean, you work parades. He shook every hand all the way down. He was a great campaigner, and unfortunately, he didn't know how to govern at the end of the day.
Well, you know, there's so much pressure on the fundraising part. I mean, let's just talk a little bit about how that whole thing works. In order to get reelected, you need money, right? There's no two ways around it. You got to buy the advertising, got to do all those different things. And it didn't seem to be personally enriching himself at that point, because he was still living in a fairly modest lifestyle. And on the tapes, you hear him complaining about his life. And there was one tape that I thought was particularly telling, where he's trying to figure out how much a U.S. senator makes. And it ended up being a couple $1,000s more than the sitting governor would make. And they were excited about that, right? Like a $3,000 or $4,000 differential. And, you know, and you stop, and that made me think that we are underpaying our public officials, because if that makes a difference and you want that job over that pay increase, that just tells you, you know, that these guys, he wasn't taking yet, at least. What he was trying to do, though, is he needed fundraising, and that there's no way to do it to shake down a children's hospital.
Yeah, I mean, fundraising is it's a dangerous proposition. I was the chairman of the House Republican Organization for 10 years, mm-hmm. and that was my job. I had to go out and raise money for my Republican colleagues so they could run a well-funded campaign. But you got to watch that line. You could never cross that line. You know, what we used to do, myself and Tom Cross, who was the leader at the time, we'd go sit with businessmen and tell them our experience in Springfield, kind of give them an idea of what's going on in Springfield, tell them a story. And a lot of times we were successful in raising money that way. But the days of, you know, just calling up and saying, hey, you know, I need this money or else or whatever, you can't do that. You know, and we were cognizant of that. We had probably three lawyers on our staff that would monitor our actions because it's a dangerous, dangerous proposition if you don't watch what you say or do.
Exactly, because it turns out that the government might be watching or listening.
And well, we assume they always are.
So. Yeah, I think you have to assume that, right? And Skip and I see each other. We hug each other, hands up and down the back. It was really funny because Skip actually felt my feet earlier when he saw me. And we're on the radio. We know that people are going to be listening to this. We hope, at least. All right, Skip Saviano's with us. He's the mayor of Elmwood Park, but for 20 years he was a state legislator down in Springfield. And we will come back and talk to him about that. And about, I have one more question about Blagojevich, and you know where we come with how we fix this problem once and for all in Springfield, which is a laughable proposition. But the third annual Elmwood Park Restaurant Week is starting February 21st, and it runs through March 1st. If you want to go, you want to get something great to eat. If you've not been to Elmwood Park, to the restaurants there, Jim and Pete's, which you just mentioned, which is that's a staple. You got Johnny's Beef, Armand's Pizza, Masa Cafe, New Star Restaurant, Russell's Barbecue, Nothing Bundt Cakes, all those places.
And your good friend Donnie G.
And my good friend Donnie G. Oh, God bless Donnie G. And that man can sing, too, right?
Yes,
he can
you
sing.
You get a dinner and a show.
Yeah, it's exactly right. All right, we'll talk all about that on the other side. But first, Lauren Lapka is telling us about the weather and the traffic.
Two brothers, one a star athlete, the other with special needs. How their bond inspired an effort to help lonely seniors find joy and companionship. Tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin Powell.
You're welcome.
You are a genius broadcaster. We thank you for everything.
It was the Johnny's Beef fueling me.
Yeah, you broke that thing down pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Skip Saviano is here. He's the mayor of Elmwood Park, over by where Johnny's is over by. And Johnny's Beef is a very, you know, there's a lot of beef in this town, right? There's a lot of places you can get beef. And they're all pretty good because, you know, Italian beef is not a bad item. It's a good item. But Johnny's has really unique kind of, it's different. It's got a little, whatever they do to the gravy part, right? To the, whatever that, you know.
There's a real funny story about that. Now, you're familiar with Tefano's Vernon Park Tap on
sure.
Vernon Park.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Johnny's Beef actually started next door there. It was
over
his
by
mother,
Joey's?
Yes. It was his mother-in-law had a beef stand there.
Yeah.
So when he moved to Elmwood Park, he took her recipe, and no one really knows what it is. But it's
got sort of like a sweet kind of a thing to it. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something in that. I don't know. They could crack the code. Anyway, the point here is now Skip for 20 years was down in Springfield, and we're gonna get back to the Elmwood Park Restaurant Week. I want to talk to you about that because you're doing it. You're very proud of this, and you should be because what you've done. How many years have you been married?
Seven.
7 years of Elmwood Park, and 20 years down the state legislature, and it's what has happened to Elmwood Park is great. You have done yeoman's work over there, and the economy's been good, and it's been very helpful. But what you're doing for the businesses and for the restaurants and stuff like that, and making it a destination, a cuisine destination, very, very, it should be.
Thank you.
It's got some of the great. It's got some of the great joints, you know, mm-hmm. in all of America. But back to Rob Blagojevich. Before we get to this, 20 years you were down in Springfield. People keep asking today on the phones. They're like, hey. Everybody does it. You know, what's the big deal? I mean, why does he get 14 years? It was a message that the judge was trying to send, that the prosecutors were trying to send, and the judge was trying to send. Would that ever work?
I think, first of all, the statement, everybody does it. Everybody has to fundraise. Everybody has to play politics. But there's a way you do it that's legal and ethical. And that's how we...
It may be ugly, but it's legal and it's ethical.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is when you say stupid things like that, that blows right past the line, you know, and you can't do that. You know, and he was a good friend to all of us down there, but it's disappointing when you saw that.
And that's across the aisle because you're a Republican.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You know, but, you know, it casts a shadow on all of us. You know, whenever, even the ongoing investigations now, as a mayor, I feel terrible that the stuff's going on because people are almost like expect it now. You know?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay. So now that's interesting because where this ongoing investigation is right now is they're picking up municipal guys.
Right.
Right? They're picking up mayors in little towns and guys who are, because the mayors in little towns, sometimes they're lobbyists who are going down to Springfield lobbying for some other, whether it's their town or something else. And there is, and it's interesting because they're trying to get this thing passed, right? So that the mayors can't go down and lobby and that, you know, they're trying to change the whole lobbying system here in Illinois. I don't know that that's ever going to pass. I cannot imagine that politicians are going to actually handcuff themselves like that. But it does seem as though no one really was scared off by the 14-year sentence.
No, listen.
Is that because it was already in action? Like these guys who are going down now or appear to be going down now, and we'd be a little careful because everybody thinks that the next shoe is going to drop here, but it hasn't dropped yet. So. But if this has been an ongoing thing for 40 years, right?
You know, listen, in the 90s, we were all hard on crime. We were extending jail sentences because we said it would be a deterrent, whatever. At the end of the day, in this country, whether you kill somebody with a gun or you're a crooked politician, you're doing it. We're not even looking at a sentence as a deterrent. You know, you're just mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah.
You're not a law-abiding citizen. You're willing to break the law.
Right. A dear old friend of mine who had been to jail a few times himself goes, some people just got to steal.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just what
blood.
It is.
It's in their blood.
Yeah. And it's, and by the way, he's wrongly accused in both of those cases. That's all I want to say. But it is that thing, you know. I mean, it's a Chicago. There is a sense in Chicago that in the Chicago area and Illinois politics that. Again, back to the point that everybody is doing it, not everybody's getting caught. And I got to say that the government, I mean, you look at what the FBI did to get Rod Blagojevich and how they got him. I mean, it was one of the more extraordinary efforts I've seen the FBI do in a public corruption case, because they snuck into his house, they wired his house, they wired his office. And then his brother, who has defended him here, and we're going to play a little bit of that on the other side of the news here before the Northwestern game. His brother, who came on the show at the very beginning, defended him and said, this is great. And this, you know, the government was out to get us and it was all part of a grand conspiracy. That with James Comey and Robert Mueller and Patrick Fitzgerald, who was the U.S. attorney here, all those guys were conspiring to get him. And this is way before MAGA. This is way before Donald Trump. Was that no one would have ever guessed that Donald Trump was going to be president of the United States back when all this was going on. It's very, very, it's disconcerting, though, that when the government is trying to do all the things that they did, what Robert Blagojevich wanted to say was, look, they're all out to get him. But why did Robert Blagojevich then ask the Illinois State Police to actually go into the home and into the office and sweep it for microphones if they weren't worried that they were being listened to? Right? So they had to know something was going on.
What was impressive about that whole thing was that the government did such a fine job of putting together in such a swift manner.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about within a year and a half time, they got everything they needed.
Well, they were looking at something else, and then all of a sudden, Barack Obama wins, and the Senate seat is now going to be, the effing golden thing is in Rob Blagojevich's hands, and he gets to do something with it, and then they caught it on that moment. And then they had to go grab him up. I remember that morning like it was yesterday, where they had to, it was just coming from there was like a work, like a protest action at this door and window place on the, you know, in the Goose Island area. And he's coming from that. And then the next thing you know, that day we're all at, they're covering that. And then we hear the news that Rob Blagojevich had just been taken, right? Like they came into his house, like the whole
thing. Early in the morning.
Early in the morning, right? The knock on the door and the whole thing and how it went. And he was scheduled to be at that thing, right, in that day. And everybody was waiting for him. He never, couldn't make it. All right, let's go back here and talk about this before we let you go. Because I know you want to come in here and talk about your very private third annual Elmwood Park Restaurant Week happening starting February 21st, which is this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Going through March 1st. And what kind of deals are people going
to
get?
Yeah, if you go to our website, elmwoodpark.org, you'll see a layout of all the restaurants that are participating, the deals they're giving, and I would urge everybody to take a look at that. We've been very, very fortunate. Dining G's is already expanding his whole operation. I mean, that's how good things are going on North Avenue. And North and Harlem is totally being renovated.
Yeah.
The old Sears sub-building is being retrofitted. We're getting a new apartment and commercial space on our side where the Sears Auto Center used to be. So it's going to be a vibrant area and a lot of new young people coming in. So those restaurants are going to really rock and roll over the next 10 years.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding you when I say it. I wouldn't kid anybody about this because it really is amazing what has happened there. People think about it, if you want to come into the city to get a great meal, but now the suburbs are really kicking. Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, you know, Highwood is really kicking and now even Winnetka is kicking. It's crazy. But you guys have always been a destination for, you know, whether it was Elmwood Park or Melrose Park or places like that. There was great joints that, yeah. You know, especially Italian food. Right.
Yeah. Italian food. But don't forget, we've got Chinese. We've got Japanese. We've got Cuban. We've got Mexican. My friend Angelo Lino just opened up Gringo and Blondie's right next down the street from Johnny's Beef. We've got everything, and now I'm negotiating.
Wait, hold on. What's I can't get to stop you there. What's Gringo and Blondie? What is that?
Well, he's the Gringo. His wife is Blondie, so they call it Gringo and Blondie. So there's a reason for that.
But, okay. Okay, go ahead.
So, and I'm currently negotiating with a Greek entrepreneur. Mm-hmm.
That's redundant, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So we're negotiating with them, and that's the last component I need for that restaurant.
You need a Greek restaurant.
Yes, a tavern.
Because you got everything going.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to say that Jim and Pete's one of my favorite restaurants in the area, and Donnie G had restaurants down here in downtown Chicago, and they killed. Right? I mean, they were unbelievable. And then he decided, you know what? I don't need this crap anymore. And he moves out to Elmwood Park, and he likes to sing the Sinatra every once in a while too.
Yes, he's a very good entertainer.
Never, all of a sudden, you know, he's standing there and he's, you know, showing you a table for four, and then the next thing you know, he's pulling out a microphone and standing in the middle of the restaurant, and you know,
at a table.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this Friday we have our fight night in Elmwood Park, and Donnie will be performing there. He's going to leave the restaurant, come back and forth, and do a little number now. Here, he just can't help himself.
You are like a Scorsese movie. where is the fight night?
It's at our Parks and Rec Center in the Village Circle. This is our seventh year. It's become a great success. And this year we have
Golden Gloves
these are kids that are getting ready for Golden Gloves. It's amateur, but now this year is our first year we have a WBC title fight. So it's exciting.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And
in your Parks and Rec building?
Yeah. We transformed the gym into just an arena. Incredible. Of course, we serve food, a lot of Italian food, and we get like 500 people there. In fact, you know who is our usual attendee with us is our Secretary of State, Jesse White, because he's a real big boxing fan.
Yes.
So he comes and sits with me, and we have a good time.
Wow. Skip Saviano, I love you. Third annual Elmwood Park Restaurant Week. He's the mayor of Elmwood Park, longtime public servant. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
Appreciate it. Go to, what's the website again?
ElmwoodPark.org. And you'll get our whole...
It's right there.
It's right there.
It's right there on the front page. All right. Thank you. We got the news right now with Kim Gordon from the WGN Newsroom. Ro Khan Show right here, 720 WGN. All right. Before we get out of here, because we got Northwestern basketball coming your way in just a few minutes, I want to play this back for you. We, earlier in the day, talked to Robert Blagojevich, who is the brother of Rod Blagojevich, and... to get a sense of where the family was on this, this is just within an hour or two of the official commutation by Donald Trump. And I asked Robert his reaction.
Well, I'm very grateful to President Trump for his compassion and empathy in allowing my brother to go home to his family. And I'm also very happy for, of course, Rod and his family, because they'll be reunited after 8 long years of being separated. And I would say that this is a good day for the average American citizen who is supporting President Trump, because he is trying to clean up a mess. And one can argue in Washington, D.C., and one can argue that my brother, as they, I guess, are in Illinois, saying that he's been released too soon. That is a very debatable point, which I'm very happy to talk about. But today is a day of celebration for my brother, his family, and for justice, because President Trump has been at the forefront with criminal justice reform, and there's so much more to go, as evidenced by my brother's commutation today.
Well, but he was convicted. Right? Do you believe that the conviction was inappropriate? Do you think he was innocent?
14 years? Absolutely inappropriate.
The conviction itself.
On the street, absolutely.
The conviction itself.
I'm not going to concede one way or another as to whether my brother is guilty or innocent. But I would say these things very clearly. No one was hurt. No money was exchanged. It was politics. Bottom line, and there was an agenda by the Justice Department and the FBI headed by Robert Mueller at that time, Patrick Fitzgerald, who is the godfather of James Comey's child. These people are incestuously locked. And when the president says, I need to clean up the swamp, I never really understood what that meant until I reflected on our situation. And the Justice Department of the one that we went up against was not about getting it right. It was about winning and bringing down another Illinois governor. And guilty or innocent, Rod has paid a big price, and he should be welcomed back to the Illinois political community, not as a politician, but someone who served his time and was unjustly charged.
All right.
Not charged, but sentenced.
Yes, and convicted, too. Robert Blagojevich, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's from earlier today, the brother of the governor, or the former governor of Illinois. Maybe he'll run again. I know that when he was impeached, they actually passed a law that said he, specifically to him, which I'm sure he could take to the Supreme Court, that he could not run for public office again. But it is, you never know. Crazier things have happened in this state and in this country. So we shall see. Although this is just a commutation, it's not a full pardon. But I assume that the president will be lobbied for a full pardon before this is all said and done. I also assume that Rob Blagojevich is going to become going to be pretty successful in the MAGA world. You know, I think he'll write books. He will appear on television supporting the president, supporting the whole idea of, you know, taking on what the president and what Rob Blagojevich think is, you know, government overreach by the Justice Department. And he'll be swinging at all of that in the election year. Now, I don't think it's interesting because I think that nationally there is more sympathy for Rob Blagojevich than there is here in Illinois. There's still a significant amount of sympathy for the length of the sentence and all of that. You know, people are thinking, well, it was way too much. But people also remember what happened, and they don't really forgive him in Illinois as much in the main, the crime. And it is fascinating how, you know, they always they say like a conservative is a liberal who got mugged. Well, this is the opposite of that, which is the a lot of conservatives are now wrapping themselves around Rob Blagojevich, even though they certainly wouldn't have wrapped themselves around him back in the 2000s when he was elected. Right. I mean, it's an interesting world in which we're now living, because it's really the enemy of my enemy is my friend, as opposed to who did the right thing here. And we're finding that on both sides. We're finding that all the way across the board here. And it is disconcerting, to say the least. But we'll see. Now, there's a question about what time Rob Blagojevich is going to be released here. It is expected that he will be released tonight. It is an hour behind us in Colorado where he is, so it's just about 5:45. And we'll have to. We've got cameras up. Channel 9's got cameras up. They'll be covering this throughout the evening. We've got Northwestern basketball right here on WGN Radio, and then on the other side of Northwestern basketball, we'll continue the coverage of Rob Blagojevich. And by then, he probably will have been released, and we'll get a sense of whether he's coming back to Chicago tonight, how he's getting back to Chicago, or will he be coming back tomorrow. It is not too far. That particular prison is about 20 minutes away from the Denver International Airport. It's sort of on that part of the Denver metropolitan area, south and a little west of the airport. So it will be and Denver obviously is a hub, so that it is possible for him to be able to get back tonight if he leaves within the next 2 hours. So there will be quite a scrum, one would imagine, at O'Hare if he is to come in tonight, or at Midway, depending on how that all works out, because Southwest and United both go out of there. So there you have it. All right, Northwestern basketball is coming your way right now. We are back with you tomorrow. More reaction, undoubtedly, to Rob Blagojevich's return to the Chicago metropolitan area. And I'm sure there's going to be some media availabilities for him.